Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a subject that usually stays kind of behind the scenes. Specialized security during labor disputes.
That's right.
We've gathered quite a bit of information, leaning heavily on strike-ready security. And our goal here is to give you a really solid, insightful look into this, well, often hidden side of labor relations.
Exactly. And it's not just about having guards stand around. It's much more strategic. It's about managing conflict, keeping businesses running, all, you know, within the legal lines.
Okay.
So we'll be digging into what strike security actually is, why it's so important during strikes, who these people are, how they're trained, what they actually do on the ground, and the really critical legal stuff.
And maybe some real-world examples,
too. Oh, yeah, definitely. We'll look at some cases to see how it all plays out.
Great. So let's start there. Defining strike security. It's more than just, like, property protection, right? What's the real core of it?
Absolutely. Protecting the building, the assets, that's part of it, sure. But the main goal is, well, broader. It's about proactively trying to stop conflict before it happens.
Okay, prevention.
Prevention, yeah. And skillful crowd management. And making sure everything observed, every action taken is documented properly, lawfully. It's really tailored for that specific labor dispute environment.
So what does that look like? I mean, what are the actual services they provide?
Well, there are a few key things. First, just having a protective presence. You know, visible personnel can deter vandalism, theft, maybe sabotage.
Makes sense. A deterrent.
Exactly. Second, and this is huge, conflict de-escalation. These folks are trained in, like, verbal tactics, understanding crowd behavior, spotting potential trouble and calming things down between, say, picketers and non-strikers.
Right, before it blows up.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And third, lawful documentation. This is critical. Using video, photos, detailed written logs, basically creating a clear record of any incidents. Time-stamped evidence for potential legal use later, while still respecting picketers' rights.
It sounds like you really need to understand the whole labor situation.
Mm-hmm.
So why is this specialized approach so vital when there's a strike?
Well, the reality is, even peaceful pickets can get tense, fast, emotions run high, misunderstandings happen, or worse.
Yeah, you can see that.
So strike security fills some critical gaps. It's key for risk mitigation. Just having professionals there can stop aggressive acts. It's also vital for business continuity. Think about getting non-striking staff or deliveries in and out safely.
Right, keeping things moving.
Exactly. And ensuring legal compliance. Operating by the book minimizes the chance of, say, unfair labor practice charges. That's crucial. And finally, there's public perception. A calm, professional security team helps the company's image during a tough time.
Yeah, you wouldn't want the opposite. Highlights the risk if you don't have this kind of specialized help.
So who are these people? Where do companies find security personnel with these specific skills?
They tend to recruit from specific pools. You often see former law enforcement and military personnel. They bring experience with crowd control, discipline, that sort of thing. Okay, that makes sense.
Off-duty police officers are also common. They have legal authority, emergency training, good situational awareness. And then you have veteran security contractors, guys who've specifically done labor dispute work before, who understand union dynamics.
So experienced people.
Right. And the agencies that provide this, they usually have big networks. On-call professionals ready to deploy pretty much anywhere quickly when a strike seems likely.
Okay, so definitely not your average mall cop. Given how tricky these situations are, what kind of training do they actually get? It must be pretty specific.
Oh, it's way beyond standard security guard courses. A big piece is understanding labor law fundamentals, like the National Labor Relations Act in the U.S., the rules of the road for labor relations, workers' rights to picket peacefully. You have to know that stuff to avoid illegal interference.
Right, stepping over the line.
Exactly. Then there's intensive de-escalation training, often using role-playing, focusing on verbal skills, nonviolent ways to separate people, even cultural sensitivity, how to talk to different groups effectively.
Practical skills.
Very practical. Also, strict evidence gathering protocols. How to use body cams right, get clear footage, write precise reports that stand up legally. And very clear use of force guidelines. The emphasis is always on minimum necessary force, only respond to immediate threats, proportionally.
So not escalating things unnecessarily.
Absolutely not. And they do coordination drills, practicing how to work with local police, union reps, company managers, making sure everyone knows the plan, the communication lines, escalation steps. And before they even start, there are detailed briefings, facility layout where pickets are expected, entry exit points.
Wow. That's incredibly thorough. Covers the legal, the practical, the interpersonal. So, okay, the strike starts. What are the main strategies these teams actually use on the ground?
The main goal operationally is always to keep order and security with the least amount of confrontation possible.
Minimal friction.
Right. So activities include perimeter surveillance using fixed posts and mobile patrols, especially in sensitive areas, setting up access control points, checking IDs, directing traffic at entrances.
Managing who comes and goes.
Exactly. Crowd monitoring is constant, watching the picket lines for any signs of trouble, unlawful stuff, sometimes uniformed for visibility, sometimes maybe plainclothes for observation.
Cool.
They also provide safe passage escorts, getting non-strikers, essential deliveries, even emergency vehicles through the lines safely, and they have incident response crews ready. If something does flare up, they react quickly, create buffer zones, liaise with police if needed.
Sounds like a very planned, almost choreographed operation.
Yeah.
What about the logistics? If a strike goes on for weeks, months,
yeah.
How do they manage shifts, keep everyone informed?
Yeah, good point. Scheduling and briefings are key for keeping things running smoothly, especially long term. Teams usually work rotating shifts, maybe 8 or 12 hours, often with some overlap built in.
Why the overlap?
That overlap is crucial. It lets the outgoing team directly brief the incoming team. Here's what happened. Here's what to watch for. You know, ensures continuity.
Got it. No drop balls.
Right. And before every single shift, there's a pre-shift briefing. Updates on incidents, picket changes, weather, any intelligence about potential actions, and always reinforcing the legal boundaries, escalation rules, communication channels.
Constant reinforcement.
Absolutely. And incident documentation is standard. Detailed written reports, any video or photo evidence, all timestamped, creates that clear, auditable record, plus basic stuff like equipment checks before every shift, radios, body cams, everything working.
Given how sensitive this all is, the legal side must be absolutely paramount.
Yeah.
What are the big legal pitfalls they constantly need to watch out for?
Oh, absolutely. Staying within the law isn't just important, it's everything. Several things are always top of mind. Like we touched on, respecting employee rights under labor law, especially the right to picket peacefully under the NLRA. That's fundamental.
Can't interfere with that.
No. They also need to be crystal clear on the limits of their authority. Mm. Private security's power of arrest. It's generally the same as any citizen, usually only if they witness a serious crime actually happening.
Not like police powers.
Definitely not. And strict use of force limits. Only as a last resort, only the minimum force needed for an immediate threat. Plus, many places have restrictions on armed guards during strikes. Often, unarmed personnel or non-lethal options are preferred.
Okay.
And of course, licensing and certification. Both the guards and the agencies need to be fully compliant. Finally, those evidence gathering protocols we mentioned, making sure they only record in public areas, don't violate privacy, don't accidentally record confidential union talk, secure storage, clear chain of custody, all vital.
Sounds like they need lawyers on speed dial.
Well, proactive legal counsel, regular audits, ongoing training is all part of trying to avoid legal problems before they happen.
Beyond just the law, though, there's the ethical side, right?
Mm.
How do they try to stay neutral, avoid making things worse?
Ethics are hugely important. It affects how effective they are, how they're perceived by everyone involved, including the public. A key part is respecting human rights, treating picketers like individuals exercising rights, not like the enemy.
Basic respect.
Basic respect, yeah. And actively avoiding intimidation tactics. Professional appearance, maybe high-vis vests instead of overly tactical gear, trying not to create an us versus them feel.
Yep.
Any kind of harassing behavior is a strict no-no. Consequences have to be serious. Transparent communication helps too clearly identifying who security is, why they're there, can reduce mistrust.
Makes sense. Being upfront.
Yeah. And having clear liaison roles, someone designated to talk to union reps, someone for the police, helps information flow, prevents misunderstandings. And finally, post-incident accountability. If there's a use of force incident or a complaint, there needs to be a real investigation. If someone messed up, there need to be consequences, and it should be handled transparently.
It's amazing how many different layers there are to this.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us some real-world examples? Maybe things that went well or not so well?
Sure. History gives us some pretty stark warnings. Think about the Homestead Strike back in 1892 or the Ludlow Massacre in 1914. Horrific violence, deaths, largely because of aggressive private security forces. Those events really shaped public opinion and eventually led to labor law changes.
Dark chapters.
Very. On a more positive note, the 2005 TELUS strike in Canada is often held up as an example of good planning. Huge strike. thousands of workers, but they did extensive risk assessments, set up command centers, used well-trained, legally vetted security. Result, no major incidents.
Shul's planning pays off.
It really does. Conversely, you had the Boeing machinist strike in 2024, unfortunate incident where a contract guard pulled a gun on picketers. He was removed, Boeing apologized, but it just shows the risks, how vital strict use of force rules and de-escalation are.
A real flashpoint.
Exactly. And interestingly, during the 2023 Writers Guild strike here in the U.S., you saw a bit more cooperation in some places. Union marshals and studio security sometimes worked almost side by side, focusing on peaceful monitoring. Seemed to keep things calmer overall.
Different approaches.
Yeah. These examples just underscore how critical planning, legal guidance, and a strong ethical culture really are.
Really puts it in perspective. Okay, last big area then. What are the typical challenges these teams face on the ground? And what do they do to try and head off problems?
Well, there are definitely common hurdles. The biggest is probably the potential for escalation. Things can turn ugly fast. Mitigation involves good pre-strike assessments, constant de-escalation training, and making sure you have enough staff so people aren't overworked and stressed.
Right. Fatigue can lead to mistakes.
Exactly. Communication breakdowns are another risk in such a dynamic situation. Clear command structures, regular briefings, reliable radios, those are crucial. Then there's the risk of false allegations from either side.
He said, she said.
Pretty much. That's where good video, detailed reports, body cams become so important, objective evidence. If a strike drags on, fatigue and morale among the security team can dip.
Yeah, it must be draining.
It is. So good rotating schedules, rest areas, maybe even counseling support can help. And finally, things are just unpredictable. Picket lines shift, unexpected things happen. So you need contingency plans, reserve personnel, backup logistics, clear protocols for emergencies. Addressing these challenges proactively makes the whole operation safer, more effective, and legally sounder.
This has been a really fascinating look inside this world. It's clear strike security is, well, way more complex than just putting guards on a gate.
Absolutely. It really is a specialized discipline. It requires this blend of legal know-how, ethical conduct, careful planning, and respectful interaction in really tense situations. At the end of the day, the aim is to protect the business, minimize risks, but do it without trampling on workers' rights. Hopefully creating space for negotiation, not just confrontation.
Right. So as we wrap up this deep dive, here's something for you, our listeners, to think about. Labor relations seem to be getting more complex. The economy keeps changing. How might the role and the strategies of strike security need to evolve in the future? How do we keep finding that balance between maintaining order and protecting fundamental rights in these tough situations? Something to ponder. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.